We're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGI Radio. Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Lions and NFL football. Hello, Mike O'Hara.
Hello, Kenny Brown. I hope Lions and NFL includes our former Detroit Lions quarterback, Matthew Stafford.
Well, there you go. Go ahead. There you go. I was going to be burying the lead. I was going to go into a big Stafford soliloquy, but you brought it up, so we might as well just bring it out right now and put it out on the table. Matthew Stafford.
Hold it. Let's start over.
You want to start over?
Let's start over. I'll just wait for you to drop the bomb. Okay.
All right. You're breaking up anyway. Right. Are you?
Let me hear your
Let me hear yourself say something.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Right. All right, we'll start it.
Yeah, I was walking around. I'll stand still for a while.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGI Radio. Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, talking Lions football, NFL football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. An exciting time.
Exciting time for all. Crazy time for others and a embarrassing time for others, because all the naysayers, all the radio talk show hosts whose names I will not mention, but you know who you are, who said Matt Stafford could never win, Matt Stafford was the problem, you got to get rid of Stafford, he's holding the team back, the Lions organization could be much better without him. Well, 365 days ago plus a day or two, he was traded to the Rams. And he said he wanted to play in big games. Well, he's played in three big games, and he's got three big victories. And Matthew Stafford, the man that didn't do it here for whatever reasons, is in the Super Bowl. Michael Harris, your thoughts?
Absolutely, and I'm thrilled for Matthew Stafford. I don't have any of that remorse or regret or anything that he didn't do it here for the Detroit Lions. Where I have preferred, the parade down Woodward Avenue with Matthew and the other guys sitting in the carts and all that other stuff. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean I'm unhappy for what he accomplished in his one season with the Rams. And he's got more seasons to come. But no, I'm absolutely happy for him. I like him. I always have. I've admitted I like him. I think he's a great football player. Someday he's going to be in Canton, enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you know what? He's got one more game to go and go ahead and win it.
Well, I'm going to give you my initial thought, what I felt at the moment in a minute. But I would just want to say this. For those radio people and TV people and fans themselves that had you have no shame. Because even today, you try to justify your bad take, your wrong take, with, well, if you'd have caught that interception, the whole game would have changed. They had a stacked team. Okay. Shame on you. I usually don't talk about people, but shame on you. Just admit you were wrong. You have no clue on football, and you're only on the air to yak and stir up controversy. All right, just admit it. I'm tired of it.
Just before that, he had a pass over the middle that Cooper dropped. Might have gone for a touchdown, and then immediately after that, pass in the end zone went through the receiver's hand.
Yeah, but that don't count, Mike. But that don't count, because that's a positive. That don't count.
Things happen in pro football.
Yeah, but that doesn't count, because that's a positive to our staff. We only do negative stuff because that's what people ratings draw. Forget you. Like I said, when we started this podcast, Mike, even when we were covering the last 5 years, I always tried to just present the facts, give my opinion a little bit on things. I don't make absolute opinions because, like I said, I'm not a football PhD. I'm just a fan. And I know a little bit about the game, and that's all I try to. I don't try to make takes for clicks. So I get upset sometimes when that happens, because you're doing a disservice to the game, and you're doing a disservice to me as a listener or whatever to it. That's all I'm gonna say about it. I'm gonna leave it alone, because I don't usually like talking about other people, but I just feel in this case you were wrong the whole time, and now you try to justify it with some bull. Right. Just admit it. Just own it and move on. I've owned it before. I've owned it. There's players I didn't think were going to be any good. I owned it. They became good. And, you were wrong. And this is the part you asked, what was my initial impression? I was happy for Matthew. I knew it was going to happen. I knew he was going to at least win playoff games. I didn't know he was going to the Super Bowl. But when I saw the way the NFC was, thinning out and teams were just falling, when Green Bay lost, I just had a feeling then, because that was the only team I thought it would have been hard to go into Lambeau and win that game. But since it happened, they won. My initial thought was the anger that the Lions – it just makes the Lions look like a bumbling organization, that you had a talent like that for 13, 12 years, and you couldn't get a playoff win out of it. And when you're drafting and when you're putting teams together, the hardest position to get is the quarterback. You had that. And you mean to tell me you couldn't form something around him in that period of time? That was my initial anger at the Lions. I'm still mad at them because you wasted a great talent. But things happen, you move on.
Things happen and you move on. I don't feel any anger or anything like that. I'm disappointed, and sometimes disappointment is worse than anger because it's harder. It's easier to get rid of anger than it is to get rid of disappointment. It really is. That lingers with you, I think. But like I said, I'm not playing the game. I have no impact on it. I'm just a guy who enjoys covering what I've covered all these years, including the Detroit Lions. And I like Matthew Stafford. I like the way he played. I like the way he carried himself. I like the way you see how popular he is with former teammates and other players. That's not just by accident. That's not like he's he's a glad hand or anything like that. He's just a genuine guy who likes to play football.
Right.
One of the things I liked, he said after the game, somebody asked him about the 12 years he played in football, or he played for the Detroit Lions. I don't know if they mentioned the Lions, but about the 12 years he played before this, he said, look, he said, I enjoyed every minute of it. I love playing football. You know what? It's a class way to act.
Yep. Like I always quote my favorite movie, the Temptations movie, and this is what I think about the Lions. And David Ruffin left the Temptations, and he was talking to Eddie Kendricks in a scene, and he says, the Temptations are a group in search of a David Ruffin. And that's what the Lions are now, a group in search of a Matthew Stafford. So that's where they are.
And well, I'll give you one, too, one of my favorites, too, and it's for Dan Jenkins, the great sports columnist, the sports writer, wrote a bunch of books, really good ones. I think the character's name was Stroker Ace, in a book about, fiction and a novel about auto racing. He just said quite simply, what could have happened did. And I like that. What could have happened did.
Are you really quoting a Burt Reynolds movie to me right now?
Was that Burt Reynolds?
Stroker Ace was in Stroker Ace. They made the movie, Burt Reynolds was Stroker Ace. You never saw the movie with Lottie Anderson and Burt Reynolds?
Nope.
Okay, well, you're quoting Burt Reynolds, but okay.
What could have happened did. Okay. That's good enough for me.
All right. Well, like I said, things are happening with the Lions. Also, this week is Senior Bowl week. Oh, before we get to that, got to talk about Tom Brady retiring. I don't want to get into Tom Brady love and Tom Brady hate. Just the initial thoughts, what you think about his retirement, which Schefter broke the other day, and you knew it was going to happen. But what are your initial thoughts on the league with him retiring? What are your initial thoughts on him? And especially the part about him not thanking the New England Patriot fans or missing pretty much New England at all in his goodbye.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that because he's always spoken highly of the coach and the ownership and all of that there. Yeah, that surprised me. I didn't hear that part of it. I heard a little bit of it, that they were reading what he wrote on Instagram. I didn't hear that part at all, but, that's a little bit petty in my opinion. It really is. He made an awful lot of money, gained an awful lot of fame, won an awful lot of games, and really, established himself as one of the four, five, six greatest athletes in any sport in the history of the United States. He really is. Is he the best? No, but he's the greatest, and there's a difference, He really is, and he's right up there with, some of the great track athletes. And you can be, I don't know about Muhammad Ali or anything, let's not get that far. But really, in terms of team sports, who's ahead of him?
Yeah, you can't do individual sport athletes at the same pace.
Right.
But as team sports-wise, Michael Jordan, that's about it. I can't.
Well, Michael Jordan went to play with a second team, and he didn't win anything.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, just in pure domination of a sport. And football is a harder sport to dominate than basketball. One man can really dominate in basketball. Football is really hard. I mean, the quarterback is probably the position you would dominate at, and that's hard. But he's way and above the second place dominant person in football ever. He's that high. I always thought Joe Montana was like the premier quarterback. I didn't even think Terry Bradshaw. This was just me. I thought Joe Montana was up until that point. But he's way ahead of Joe Montana.
Well, let me just pose this, though. I mean, there's – Is he the greatest quarterback? Yes, he is. Is he the best? That's a different story. That's a different question. And I think the top three are Johnny Unitas, Joe Montana, and Tom Brady. Brady the greatest because of the winning. But is he the best? Is he a better quarterback than Joe Montana? I don't think so. I think Montana's the best, and Unitas right behind him.
Well, you can't count Unitas because it wasn't on TV, and half the people that judge, if it didn't happen on TV, it didn't happen. I'm just saying, these idiots around here, you know, if it didn't happen on TV, then it never happened. So, but I agree with you.
I didn't fly back and forth to Baltimore to watch
him. Well, I agree with you. That's like Will Chamberlain in basketball, you know, because when you didn't see him on TV, nobody, they just ignore him. You know, who's the best player? They just ignore, you know, a guy that averaged like 27 rebounds a game for a year, put 50 points, average 50 points a game. Forget about it because there wasn't no TV. So,
well, to me, Wilt's the greatest athlete of all time. Right. We could beat that.
Well, we're not even talking about it. I know how you feel about this, so I'm not even going to talk about it.
And I'm right. I don't have to argue because I'm right.
Well, I'm not arguing. I said I'm not even going to get into you with that because I know how you feel about
it.
But – back to the story on Brady, I just think that he's walking out with the same chip he came in, which is good. I mean, that's going to serve him well in the rest of his life. But I just felt that by him not doing what he, you know, acknowledging the New England thing, I think that he's just mad because he wanted to stay. And Kraft and Belichick, you know, said that's enough. And I think that kind of hurt him. And that he's going to keep that with him for, you know, forever. So –
well,
I can understand.
I don't think we'll ever know for sure if they didn't want him back or not. I don't think we'll ever know that. I don't know why they wouldn't.
Well, this kind of really tells that they didn't know, Mike. If he's not acknowledging that part of it, then he's got an axe to burn.
I've heard some of those takes on the man in the arena, and he was just gushing about Bill Belichick, how a great man, made him everything he is, and all of that. Maybe I can't say it was an oversight because I don't think he's an oversight on anything he does. In his life, I think it's all, you know, I think it's all measured out to the last grain of salt, you know. And but no, somebody should have read it. If he didn't mean it, somebody should have read it. One of his, you know, one of his whoever handles his social media and said, "Hey, hold on a second, you're missing a couple of people here." They treated him great. They really did.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back to Shawshank and the Lions. Let's get back to. You know, evidently Matthew Stafford swarmed through that sewage for 500 yards and got out. So maybe we can talk about the next person to get out. But seriously, they're doing the Senior Bowl this week. Dan Campbell and guys are down in Mobile. Dan Campbell is probably just I don't know how they're going to do it because evidently he's an advisor. So I don't know what that really means. We've got to talk to Tim Twentyman when he comes back next week exactly what he did. But I guess they – pushed the coaching staff off with the guys under him. So Deuce Staley's going to be the head coach, and R.G. Pleasant is the defensive coordinator, and Ben Johnson's going to be the offensive coordinator. So they're going to delegate the duties. But Campbell's presence is still going to be all over it. So what do you expect to see this weekend? What do you think the Lions should be looking for while they're down?
Well, I know they'll look at quarterbacks because Brad Holmes said once last year in this process that this is whether you're taking one or not, you have to look at quarterbacks because they're that important. And so I think you'll look at the six quarterbacks there, obviously, and scrutinize them. I don't see – well, you know, I don't see one going to him with a second pick overall. But if there's a value pick at 31 or 32, I can see them taking one. I think they also – you know, they have other needs, though, that they could use that same draft position at. I mean – We know that they got the second pick overall. We're not sure if they have 31 or 32 at the end of the first round, and then their own second round pick. So, and they got three good picks there. Three good, you know, they're positioned well to do something
at the present.
Yeah, and there's some good players at the Senior Bowl too. The one thing I think about though at the Senior Bowl, I think the best players at the Senior Bowl are going to be pretty high draft picks. So I just kind of wonder which of those are going to be available at 31, 32 for the Lions. In terms of quality of the player, and it'd be some obviously because I was going looking through the roster before we got on here, and there's some really good players there, but the really good ones I think will be off the board before the Lions pick. At least, of course, they would be anyway. But I'm just talking about the Senior Bowl people.
Right. Well, there's got to be some players there because if each team has say 40 players on it, that's 80 players. So every deal is only 32 picks. So somebody that's in this game is going to be there when they pick those last two picks.
Well, look. Yeah, absolutely. Right, absolutely.
So they got to
look
around.
Aaron Donald was there in 2014, and they had a good look at him.
Don't mention that, man. Don't mention his name. Don't mention his name, because I'm more upset with that watching him play than I am watching Stafford with the Rams. I'm more upset that Lions could have had both of them. You know, that Dallas game. I think about if Aaron Donald would have played that Dallas game. Man. Don't get me started on that Aaron Donald.
Well, listen, we're not going to redraft.
I know. I'm just going to get me started. But these are things I do want them to look for. To me, wide receivers, I'd rather go with two veteran wide receivers than a draft one high. I mean, I would draft one like St. Brown again, a fourth rounder, a third rounder, whatever. But I'm talking about those first three picks, those three in the first 34, I'm staying away from wide receiver unless everybody else on my board is off. You know, in that area, because I just think you can fill that position easier than any of these other positions. But I'm getting, Mike, to the point now, man, the more I research Thibodeau and Hutchinson, I'm not married to one of those two, man. I'm like, I can get a trade down and get some more picks or a player and a pick or even, you know, a lot of capital for next year, I'll entertain moving down three or four or five slots. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I got my first mock draft out, my mock one, and I've got, Neil. I've got Hutchinson going to the Lions at number two, and then the pass rusher from Oregon going to Houston at number three. But to me, there's a guy on that board who I just absolutely think is, and that's a safety from Notre Dame. I just think he's a tremendous player, and I think you can get real value out of a safety who can run sideline to sideline, cover that ground, and play every snap of the game versus a pass rusher who might play, 35, 40, 45 snaps a game. But Kyle Hamilton is the guy I'm talking about. I just think that he has a chance to be really a special, special player. I think these are good pass rushers. I don't think they're great.
Well, this is me right now on February 1st. I want the best defensive player. Now, when it comes down to it, you got to make the choice on what is the best defensive player. I'm talking about, I'm not the best defensive player at a position, the best defensive player. If you can get a player the other team's got a game plan for, I don't care what position it is. So that's what I see. If Kyle Hamilton becomes a guy that becomes like an Ed Reed type or a who's the bigger safety types that – like all pro, like Palomulo, somebody like that, then I'm all for it. Go for it. But if not.
Well, Hamilton's what, 6'3", 6'4",
yeah. But I'm saying if not, then I'm on that line. You know, pass rushers never fail. You never can have enough pass rushers in this league. And you can, like I said, after quarterback to me, defense pass rusher is the second biggest need, and offense left tackle. Those are my three big needs. You got your tackle situation taken care of. You still need your quarterback situation taken care of. Now you need your edge rusher. And I don't think they have that right
now. You're not saying they're looking for a left tackle. You're saying that position is
– the position is covered with Decker and Sewell. You don't have to worry about that. So now you need the pass rusher and the quarterback. And like I said, after that, then it's the best defensive player. But – if you think the pass rusher, I'm talking pass rusher that teams have got to, they got to make allowance for. They got to, scheme on them. If it's just a guy that's like a core, like you got a Quora now, good player, 10 sack guy probably on good years. They're not really scheming him. They're not really chipping him and doing everything else and making the whole offense or to run away from him. That's the type of pass rush I'm looking for with a number two pick. Somebody that they run into the other side. They're not even coming in this side.
Yeah, I listened to Daniel Jeremiah. He was at something on NFL.com, and I listened to it was a week or so ago, I think it was, and he was talking about Hutchinson. And he said, look, he's a really good player with a high floor, which means he's not going to, he's going to be a good player. But he doesn't have a high ceiling, and he thinks he's going to be a 12-sack-a-year type of player. He'll be a good player, not a great player. Now, you can see guys develop, and it happens, It really does. But I kind of, just from what I saw, and saw him in the playoffs, too, not the Big Ten championship, but in a playoff game, it handled him pretty well, I thought, in that game. So, we'll see. I think he's going to be one of the first three players off the board. and look, a really, really good player out of the University of Michigan and Divine Child High School with a, you know, with a pedigree for playing football. And look, he could surprise us and be even better than we think he is now. And a lot of people think he's pretty good.
Yeah, and he might have an edge with Dan Campbell because of the off-the-field stuff, you know, the attitude and everything else, and maybe on-field attitude. But I'm just saying, Dan, that might be a Dan Campbell's type of player, so I'm not going to exclude him. But when they start testing, Thibodeau's going to go off the charts, and that's what I want to see. Like, you know, if this guy, the athletic freak that they say he has been since he was, like, one of the top high school prospects. So we'll see. And we'll see how it goes. But like I said, you can't go wrong with number two. I mean, you can, but you really can't. I mean, you got to, like, try to mess it up either way.
Well, you know, I just went through the number two picks for the last 10 years, and there's a couple in there where, look, they may have looked good on paper and looked good, you know, in the combine and all that. But, like, one of them, an offensive tackle, Greg Robinson, was never really good. He spent 1 year here in Detroit.
Yeah, he came here.
Yeah, he came here, and he was a good guy, but he just couldn't move.
Well, look at the guy who was drafted behind Matt Stafford the year. It was another Ram. The Rams took both of these guys. They took Robinson, you're talking about, and they also took the guy from Baylor, the tackle Scott. He was out of the league in 4 years, I think.
Right.
The number two pick. Aaron Curry was out of the league. The linebacker everybody wanted instead of Stafford. He was out of the league in, you know, a few years, and he wasn't that good when he was in it. He was just okay. So, you know, all these pre-draft things where you see all these mocks, don't bet your house on them right now because things change and guys move up and down, and good drafting teams know a guy and don't worry about what these mocks say.
Well, I don't know any team that picks its players based on the mock, but I do know they read them for entertainment.
Sure.
They do that. Just, they find it interesting what other people are thinking, but it certainly doesn't filter down to them making their selections based on what even the great me, I say that completely laughing, but they don't make their picks based on what we say at all.
So do you think they're going to take a quarterback in this draft? Just by Brad Holmes' talk yesterday, and I know he talked a lot about wide receivers, what he was looking for, and because he was initially in the Cooper Kupp scouting, and he said how he was the best player he saw in Mobile that year. So he knows – he has a good feel for receiver. After the St. Brown thing, I have confidence he knows how to what a receiver and what he wants. I do have that confidence.
Let me give you a little thing about St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver from Southern Cal, drafted fourth round, 112th overall. And remember how many times he said he's going to have a chip on his shoulder for the 14 or 15 wide receivers drafted ahead of him? After he was taken by the Lions at that pick in the fourth round, 18 more wide receivers were drafted. Those 18 receivers did not match the 90 catches that Amon-Ra St. Brown had. So out of that pool of wide receivers that were left, they took the guy with the 90 catches, and none of the next 18 who went off the board, 18 more were drafted, and they didn't have 90 catches combined. That's pretty sharp scouting, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, at worst, you got a number two receiver.
That.
At worst, he's a number two.
Well, just on his own. He did more than the next 18 did combined.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Combined.
But in fairness, he was on a team that had opportunities. Maybe some of those guys didn't get on teams where they had that opportunity.
There were about six or eight of those who had zeros.
Right, because of where they played, probably. You know, like I said, if a team's loaded receiver, a rookie's not going to, especially a lower round drafted rookie, he's not going to get the opportunity. So that's fair, but I'm just saying that be careful with that, too, because some of these guys, when they get the opportunity.
You just couldn't let me have it.
I'll let you have it, but I'm just saying I don't think that's the be-all, end-all because they didn't get
the
catches.
It is the be-all, end-all.
I just don't think so. I just think that, you could have been on this team every – one thing you say about the Lions season this year, if you were a wide receiver, you got opportunity to play.
Opportunity.
You got opportunity.
Too.
Yeah, that's right. And some took advantage of it, like St. Brown, and some didn't, like Trinity Benson.
Hasn't yet, that's for sure.
Right.
It cost them a fifth-round draft pick. But here's the other thing we ought to mention when we're talking about this is they've got extra picks in this draft, too, with those compensatory picks. I think they've got a total of 9, is it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I don't know what they got yet, but they're going to get some.
Projection. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to – look, if he's as good as drafting the middle players, and I'm not talking about the high-end players, first, second round, like the third, fourth, fifth-round players, as he was last year, you're going to be okay. They're going to be okay that way. And then they have a lot of money in free agency because of – there's a couple of big contracts that I know aren't coming back. And I can tell you right now, I'm not going to mention their names. You can see who they are. And they're in pretty good shape. But they got to find a quarterback. That's all I got to say.
Hold on. Well, before we close it out, just let me just add this, Kenny. I'm not convinced that Jared Goff is not the Detroit Lions quarterback of the present and the future. I'm not saying he is, but I'm not convinced that he's not yet, because I saw more good things from him in the last, you know, six games he played, and he missed one because of COVID, I think it was. But I saw a guy who was starting to like feel comfortable with these players, with these teammates, and with this system. So I would not write him off yet as the Lions quarterback.
Well, I'm not going to write him off, but I want to see how he plays next year, because if I'm him and the team that jettisoned me went to the Super Bowl and won it, I'm coming back ready to prove that it wasn't me.
Well, we should anyway.
I'm saying, but I want to see that. I don't want to see him wilt under the pressure. I want to see him, you know, take it and embrace it and move on with it.
Wilt under the pressure, Wilt Chamberlain?
Yeah. Well, last year was easy because the team was garbage, so he didn't have a lot of pressure on him that way. But if they're winning, then I want to see what he's got. I want to see what he's got.
Well, he's playing for his contract, playing for his career too, so that's
good. Well, he is playing for his career, but I just want to see what he's got. And I don't want to say – I don't use the terms that I want to use, but I just feel that – I didn't see fire out of him at the beginning of the year, and I want to see it. You know, he doesn't have to, I'm not talking about yelling and screaming on the sideline, but I just want to see a little more fire out of him. And toward the end of the year, I was seeing it. So I want to see if that continues.
Right. No, I agree with you.
All right, Mike. Go ahead.
And just to the last thing for me here, and if he is, in fact, the quarterback, and you're just drafting backups or whatever for development, I mean, what a relief that is for a coaching staff, a scouting staff, a general manager, the whole team. That settles everything when you know, barring injury, that's your guy.
Yeah, but I'm drafting a backup that can play if the starter gets hurt, that can win. I ain't talking about a Tim Boyle that you just throw in and get you a 79-yard game. They got to find a young guy that can win games. If Goff is the starter, if Goff goes down and misses a game, he can come in and you can win the game. And I'm talking about a younger guy, not some guy holding on at the end of the career like John Glennon or the guys like that, you know, Robert Griffin III. We don't want that. You want a guy that can win. I'm just giving guys that are like almost out the league.
Robert Griffin III's in the broadcast.
I know, but he's still young enough that he could be back, you know. Hey, go see if Andrew Luck's healed. I mean, get out there. Dig the ditches.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that, Kenny.
All right. All right, Mike, that's it for this week. We'll check back in next week in the lull between the Super Bowl. We'll talk about the Senior Bowl, what happened with the Lions, and then we'll talk about the upcoming Super Bowl matchup, Cincinnati and our L.A. Rams. All right, Mike?
Okay, well, you know what? Who are their fans, by the way? That's what I want to know. Where are they?
They're in Detroit. That's where they're at. All right, Mike, I'll talk to you next week. That's Michael Hare from DetroitLions.com. Check them out there. Ken Brown, WJR. We are over and out.